Could you please all rise for the Right Honourable the Lord Mayor of Perth, Mr. Basil Zempas.
Just ring the doorbell. Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here. Can I declare the meeting, City of Perth November Ordinary Council meeting, formally open at exactly 5 p.m. I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land upon which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia. We acknowledge their elders past, present and emerging. It is indeed a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. While we are all standing, CEO, could I ask you please to recite the prayer?
Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory for ever. Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Please be seated. Thanks, everyone. Please note that in accordance with Council Policy 1.4, this meeting is being live-streamed to the world. It is also being audio and video recorded, which will be made available on the City's website following this meeting. We're going to go through the attendance, and can I acknowledge today we have with us the Deputy Lord Mayor Di Bain, Councillor Sandy Angie, Councillor Clyde Bevan, Councillor Brent Fleeton, Councillor Liam Dobbett, Councillor Rebecca Gordon, Councillor Victor Coe and Councillor Catherine Leeser, done alphabetically, Councillor Leeser, just so you know. In addition, I welcome officers, members of the public and any media in attendance, although we know now these days our friends in the media are watching the live stream. Can I also take this opportunity to welcome one of our newest staff members who joins us at the front, Brad Salence, formerly of the City of Perth, then with the City of Joondalup, and now here as our Executive Director of Governance and Strategy. Brad, welcome. I'm sure you're going to enjoy your time back at the City of Perth. There have been no apologies received, so we'll go to item 3.2, a leave of absence. And there are no elected members currently on an approved leave of absence, I do not believe. We can see 8 seats full. Do any elected members have an application for a leave of absence? Councillor Gobbett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Wednesday the 29th of December to Monday the 3rd of January 2022 inclusive. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Gollett. Excellent forward planning from your good self. So item 4, we're going to move to announcements. Oh, we need a mover there. Yes, thank you, Councillor Gollett. Look at the Joondalup team quickly whipping into shape. Oh, we've got governance coming from everywhere. Moved by Councillor Fleeton. Thank you. A seconder, please. Thank you, Councillor Gordon. We'll put this to a vote, shall we? All those in favour? Oh, look at that. Impressive. Thank you. That's 9-0 for those keeping score. Let's go to announcements. I've got some really good news here and some news that I'm very enthusiastic about. And it is my belief, as you might know, listening to me or following me on social media, that the great things happening in the City of Perth far outweigh those things that are at times challenging. And we are aware of the challenges, but there are some exceptional things happening within the City of Perth. I can tell you that the data from the first 2 weekends of Christmas Lights Trail, which we received today, shows what we have all seen for ourselves, and certainly that I've been saying, the city boom is on, people. Get on board. 2 weeks ago, I cut ribbons to open Piccadilly Arcade, a number of new vendors at Perth City Markets. I noticed Jeff Leach sitting at the back. And the Christmas Lights Trail, all off the back of announcing we're re-embracing the City of Light tag. And we're going to stage a weekend of celebrations to mark the 60th anniversary of John Glenn's Orbit and that famous tag in February of next year. This Saturday, the Christmas pageant comes back to the heart of the CBD, where it should be, right down St George's Terrace. How magnificent. The 50th anniversary of the Christmas pageant, in the year of my 50th birthday, by the way. And 32 degrees is forecast. It's going to be a glorious day in our city. In short, and the numbers back this up, there are more people in the city, and those people are spending more money. Compared to the previous quarter, City of Perth residents are spending more locally, and less in other local government areas by approximately $525,000. That means, and if you'll bear with me, Perth residents are shopping local and spending more in our City of Perth local government area. According to the data, which we received only a few days ago, expenditure is $20 million a month higher in October 2021 than it was last October. I'm going to say that again, slowly. $20 million higher this October than it was last October. That's up 7.8% year on year. For the month of September, total spend was $234.8 million, a 7.9% increase for the same time last year. Resident local spend was $12.9 million. Visitor local spend, $221.9 million. What this tells us, as I said, residents are staying in the city to spend. They're spending less online and they are buying locally. And there are more visitors in the city. The August nighttime economy expenditure was up 25.5% this year compared to last year. And that was before AFL Grand Final week. And pedestrian activity, or as I like to call it, people numbers, up 36% when compared to this time in 2020. And for the first two nights of the Christmas lights trial, the number of visitors on Friday nights is up 35.4% compared with the first 2 weeks of last year. And the Saturday attendance, Saturday night, is up 38% with the first two Saturdays of the corresponding period last year. That big, big jumps, 35.4% and 38%. Parking, who would have thought, Councillor Fleeton? Parking has been a massive determining factor, because I can proudly sit here and tell you that parking in the city is hassle-free. Hassle-free, my friends. Can the shopping centres say that? No, they cannot. They're giving out Uber vouchers to ask people to leave their cars at home. We don't have to do that here. We've got great car parks that people are taking advantage of. A flat rate fee of $5 at night time, a $10 all-day parking fee at select car parks, and on weekends and public holidays, three-hour free parking in car parks close to our shopping heart. Three of our best, the Cultural Centre, Pier Street, and His Majesty's. There are no parking hassles in the CBD. There is a lot going on also. We just launched downstairs our LGBTQI plus plan. It lists and brings together all of the things the city will be doing in this year of the 30th anniversary of the Pride Parade. And our city staff proudly represented us, including Councillor Leeser, Councillor Gobbett, and the CEO, Michelle Reynolds. And we thank them for doing so with their City of Love T-shirts. A reminder, event sponsorship applications close on the 14th of December, and there have been many received, and that service is providing great opportunities for ratepayers in our city. The Stolen Generations Memorial, the Maya Myers, was opened in Wellington Square only last week, a very significant piece of public artwork that reminds us all it is important to reflect and to respect a place where all Australians can come together, learn from the past and move forward together. And I'm especially proud to say that today marks 6 months since our Safe Night Space in Hay Street, East Perth opened. In the 6 months that that facility has been opened, catering for the most vulnerable in our community, there have been, and that is women, as we know, Safe Night Space for Women, 2,318 presentations. That's an average of 13 women each night taking shelter, coming out of the cold, the rain, and out of danger, off the street, and into our Safe Night Space facility. Last night, there were 16 women who took shelter. This has been a very significant step forward in this space for our community. And on behalf of all elected members, I'm very proud of what we have been able to establish in its first 6 months of operation. Just finally, I had the opportunity this week to visit the Boorloo Biddy Maya facility on Wellington Street. As our councillors and many people listening will know, we've advocated strongly for the state government to enter this interim homelessness space. And I will say that it came off the back of our work opening the Safe Night Shelter for Men, the two-month trial. And as a result, Boorloo Biddy Maya was opened, I think, ahead of time. I was delighted to see that 24 residents are cared for in this facility. And I'm told that that number will soon move to 40 residents who will be cared for in this facility. The very professional staff are advocating as hard as they can to increase their capacity when the time is right. And that is certainly something they are moving towards. And I want to congratulate all of the staff that I met there and had the opportunity to be shown around that great facility, which we hope will continue to expand and continue to work towards the full use of the 100 beds that they have available. So as you can see, it has been a very busy period. There is a lot to look forward to. And there are great things happening in the City of Perth. And every elected member and every staff member of the City of Perth should be very pleased and proud with some of those great achievements. The City was also recently awarded gold at the Perth Airport WA Tourism Awards in the Major Events and Festivals category for the Christmas Lights Trail 2020. Now lucky Brad's here to be able to hold that up like that on cue. Now, this category recognises tourism, leisure festivals, events and exhibitions which enhance the profile and appeal of the destination where they are held, as well as creating a positive economic impact, increased visitation and community involvement. As a gold medalist, the City of Perth will advance to represent our state at the National Qantas Australian Tourism Awards. It's fantastic acknowledgement of the success of this signature event for the City of Perth at a state and national level. You know, my belief, I think it's the best family event that we do in the city, and it's been wonderful, and we'll see them again when we leave tonight. How many families and how many people are enjoying our Christmas lights again? And the city has won two Australian Institute of Landscape Architecture WA awards for the East End Revitalisation and Hay Street Pedestrian Priority Precinct. It's incredible. Danielle sat there for 12 months, never held up a trophy once. Wow. The awards were for Excellence for Infrastructure and Landscape Architecture Award for Urban Design. The project involved almost every single service unit across the city and is a great example of what can be achieved when we all work together to deliver an innovative and groundbreaking project. For all of those things that I've mentioned, for those two awards, to all of the staff who are represented here today who have helped with their teams not only earn us these accolades but also achieve those great highs and those great numbers, we say thank you on behalf of the elected members, and please pass on our thanks and great appreciation to your staff. Great things are happening in the City of Perth, and I could not be prouder to be the Lord Mayor of this wonderful city. Point five, as I take a breath. Public question time. Moving to item 5.1. No public questions have been received in advance for today's meeting. Are there any questions from the floor? Item 5.2 is deputation. CEO, are there any deputations?
Yes, Lord Mayor. We have received one deputation in relation to item 17.1.
So can I tell you that, thank you, CEO, please be reminded there is a 10-minute limit for deputations, and I'll now invite Callum Ashton, representing PropTech Hub WA, and Jeff Leach to please step forward to make your deputation. I might just check, is it just Callum giving the deputation? It is. Callum, come on forward, please, if you could. My friend will ask you to state your name and your address. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, Deputy Mayor and Council Members. Cullen Ashton, Level 2, 110 William Street, Perth. I probably won't need this, and I'd like to start with saying I love Perth. I've been to every single capital city in Australia, every state, every territory, and Perth is number one. I love it. And the change that you have made over the past few years has been absolutely amazing. And thank you so much. I want to share my deputation on the tech plan and why I feel that it's important. Now, I'm not going to start with saying 50 years ago the biggest company was Steel, Telephone, Telegraph and Standard Oil, because we know in today's year the three top are Apple, Amazon, Facebook, all tech. We know how important tech is having in our community, in government, in business and in residential. It's why our ratepayers can listen to this tonight, is because of technology. But where is tech going to take us into the future? And do we have a plan to get there? There is a line outside this room queuing up to help Lord Mayor, Deputy Mayor and the councillors to help with a plan of technology and to help Perth be the tech capital of Australia. But how do we do that and how does it look? We're hoping that the City of Perth can have the leadership and we will follow. Prop tech, it's not a prop on a stage, and sometimes it does get confused for that. It's short for Property and Construction Technology. We have been open for 286 days. We have 30 property and construction technology businesses that have joined so far. And we have over 100 industry members. The combined value of our innovative members is over $500 million, and our industry members over $250 billion. We're putting on several events in the city and have already attracted over 10,000 people. 26 of those 30 members were not working in the city. And now they come here and they work and they're members and they get involved. We want to do more. And as the Lord Mayor has said, it's not about asking the city to do for you, but what you can do for the city. And we want to help. We want to do what we can for the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Callum. Appreciate that very much and appreciate the time as well. You can stay there if you don't mind because there might be some questions from our councillors. So, again, thank you. Thanks for being here tonight. Are there any questions from any of our councillors? Councillor Gobb.
Thanks for the deputation. With regards to other Australian capital cities, you said you'd been to all of them. What do you see as our biggest inhibitors to being Australia's tech capital, looking at other capital cities?
Yeah, so Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne, their local councils, city councils, are really backing tech. They provide a serious plan with serious grants, and that's allowed to get the investment there, which has then attracted the talent. We've done a brainstorm on what do we need. Exposure is one of them, capital is one, and we have set up an investment council. We'll be deploying capital next year. So we are starting to break those barriers. But again, we don't really know where we're going or where the city wants to go. And that's why if the city had a tech plan, there are so many people out there that would line up and help.
Thanks, Callum. Councillor Gordon? No? You're leaning forward to push a button? No, you're allowed to lean forward here. Yeah. It's a democracy. Councillor Coe.
Thanks for speaking to us. You mentioned, did you say 27 people? 26.
26 members out of 30 didn't work in Perth before.
But now they're working.
Now they come to Perth, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Do you foresee your company to be growing even further?
Absolutely. So July next year, we'll be doing a PropTech Accelerator program for land developers, builders, both commercial and residential, and real estate agents, and they come in with their big idea, or their big problem, and they network with the innovators, and that creates these entrepreneurship opportunities, and then that will take our 30 prop tech members to 40 or to 50, and then they'll come into the city because that's where all the action is.
Yes, Councillor, can I follow up?
Just a follow-up question. Do you employ anyone from, new graduates from university in any particular fields or anything like that?
What we do, actually. We have a work experience program that leads into an internship program. So we had over 20 now go through the work experience program and successfully employed 4 through the internship program. They have come mainly from ECU and Curtin University.
Are there any further questions from anybody? Callum, can I ask, if we had a strategy out for public consultation to inform the plan by early next year, would that be a good result?
It would, and we love Perth. That's why we're all here. And it's perhaps the strategy of how do we get Perth to be number one because we can do it. We have the industry and we have the backing.
And if you had the opportunity to feed into that strategy, to give input, would you take part in that process?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's excellent. Are there any further questions from anyone? Callum, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thank you to Jeff Leach, who's also here with you tonight. Another person who does great things for the city and doesn't wait for the city to do great things for him. We appreciate it. Good on you. So, are there any further deputations, Stephen?
No, Lord Mayor.
There are not. Okay. So, right. Item 6 on the agenda is disclosures of interest. The following interests have been received. Proximity interest from Councillor Leeser in relation to items 18.1 and 18.2 as the Perth Concert Hall is located directly across the road from a property she jointly owns. An impartiality interest from Deputy Lord Mayor Bain in relation to items 18.1 and 18.2 as she represents the city on the Perth Theatre Trust. An impartiality interest from Councillor Angie in relation to items 18.1 and 18.2 as she represents the city on the Perth Theatre Trust. An impartiality interest from Councillor Bevan in relation to items 18.1 and 18.2 as he represents the city on the Perth Theatre Trust. We are well represented on the Perth Theatre Trust. Do any elected members have any other disclosures of interest from the floor? Moving on to item 7, would anyone like to move a motion to confirm the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 26th of October 2021? Thank you, Councillor Bevan. Can I have a seconder for this motion? Oh, thank you, Councillor Coe, who got his hand up quickly. That's very good. Show of hands, all those in favour. This motion being unopposed, I will declare it carried unanimously. Questions by members, which due notice has been given. I do not believe there are any. No correspondence has been received. Item 10 is petitions. No petitions have been received. So we move on to the reports, and I'm moving a motion that the following items be carried en bloc. 13.1 RFT 00083 East Perth Foreshore Principal Shared Path and Lighting Upgrade Works. 14.1 Monthly Financial Report for September 2021. 14.2 Schedule of Accounts September 2021. 14.4 Corporate Business Plan Quarter 1 Report. Could I have a seconder for this, please? Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Do any members oppose this motion? Motion being unopposed, I will declare it carried unanimously. The recommendations of those items have now been passed en bloc in accordance with Clause 9.2 of the City of Perth Standing Orders Local Law 2009, and the officer's recommendations have been adopted by Council. We'll now be moving on to the reports extracted for debate. 11 and 12, nothing there. 13, Infrastructure and Operations Alliance reports. As we just heard, 13.1 is en bloc. 14.1, the Monthly Financial Report for September 2021, en bloc. Also, 14.2, Schedule of Accounts paid September 2021. So we go to 14.3, Infrastructure Capital Project Reprioritisation for November 2021. Would anybody like to move a motion to deal with this item? Thanks, Councillor Gobbett. A seconder. Thanks, Councillor Leeser. Councillor Gobbett, anything you'd like to say? Councillor Leeser? Anybody wish to speak for or against the motion? Does anybody oppose the motion? There being nobody opposing the motion, we'll declare that carried unanimously. 14.4. Corporate Business Plan Quarter 1 Report on block. 15, Chief Executive Officer Reports. 15.1, the Inquiry into the City of Perth Recommendations Quarterly Progress Update. Okay, and now we have an alternative here. Okay. Councillor Fleeton, is there something you wish to add here?
Lord Mayor, so proposing an alternate motion. I'll just read it out, but I know the officers have it. The Council notes the quarterly progress update on the remaining inquiry into the City of Perth recommendations for the City. 2, notes the proposed cancellation of the implementation of recommendations 210 of the inquiry into the City of Perth, as outlined in Attachment 15.1A. And the third bullet point, which is new, requests the CEO to progress the intent of recommendations 17 and 18 of the inquiry, as outlined in attachment 15.1A, with a view to implement a suitable cultural feedback assessment for the city's council members, CEO, and city's executive leadership team.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. So we will now put the alternate motion, seconder first, of course. Thank you, Councillor Gordon. Councillor Fleeton.
Sure, I'll just explain. I'm sure everyone's got the piece of paper in front of them. I don't think anyone should shy away from 360s being used for senior leaders, CEO or council. I think it would be a very effective development tool for us as a group, but also further into the organisation. Sometimes they're viewed as a weapon to out people. They're absolutely not. They're a development tool. They're not the be-all and end-all. There'll be other tools that the CEO can use as well. I think it would also help the Lord Mayor better engage with the group around this table. And I don't want us to forget the lessons of the inquiry. I'm hesitant in a year after the inquiry, after all recommendations were adopted, that we now say that the administration can handle the cultural feedback assessment loop internally without necessarily going external. I think that's not a good look at all, and we should be setting up a process or a culture of feedback and openness long after we're all gone. We're not just talking about the group here. I have every faith in the CEO and this management team, but we're looking into the future. We've spent $8 million on an inquiry, and we have to make sure that we implement those effectively. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Fleeton. Councillor Gordon? Councillor Gordon is the seconder, if you'd like to speak to this motion, and then Councillor.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly with what Councillor Fleeton has said. And I think the elected members around the table, as well as the public, have ambitious goals for this city. And if doing the 360 review can help us in achieving those, then I think it's a good outcome and a good investment of what I understand will be a small amount of resources. So I'm supportive.
Thank you, Councillor Gordon. Councillor Lees, you had your hand up. Are you speaking for or against here?
I think I've picked up a typo, Lord Mayor. So, in the alternate motion, it refers to 17 and 18. However, when I refer to the attachment, it's actually 18 and 19, the points we're actually talking about.
Okay, we'll just ask Brad to check that. The mover and seconder consenting to that change. So the numbers are changing to 18 and 19. Right.
Yeah,
thank you, Councillor Gordon. And does anybody else wish to speak for or against the alternate motion? Okay, well, let's put it to the vote then. All those in favour of the alternate motion? And that is unanimous. So we return to the debate. Councillor Bevan had... We're done with that? That's it. Happy days. Gee, that's good work. Thank you. Let's go to 15. 16, no reports. 17, motions of which notice has been given. 17.1, Councillor Sandy Angie, the tech plan. Councillor Angie has submitted a notice of motion regarding a tech plan. Councillor Angie, would you like to move your motion?
Thanks, Lord Mayor. So my proposed motion is that the Council request the Chief Executive Officer to, one, investigate ways to attract and support local, interstate and overseas tech businesses to the City of Perth, two, present a tech action plan for consideration at a future Council meeting, which outlines what support, incentives and or other initiatives the City of Perth can provide, three, if required, list a provisional sum as part of a future budget for consideration by Council at the 2021-22 mid-year financial review or at the time of setting the 22-23 budget to allow for the cost of repairing the tech action plan. Four, as part of the tech action plan, outline priority initiatives and required budgets to be considered by the Council as part of a future budget for 2022-23 and beyond. And five, undertake appropriate consultation as required. My reasons for this proposed motion is that tech is not only an important but a critical global sector, with the largest companies in the world being tech companies, as outlined in the deputation we've just heard. Think of Canva. They started out here in Perth and were actually discovered at the West Tech Festival, but are now based in Sydney. According to recent media reports, Canva is now worth an astonishing $55 billion. These kinds of companies are the ones that people and countries and cities all over the world want to attract because they bring employment opportunities. Other cities across Australia have plans to attract tech. As noted at our October 21 council meeting, I outlined how City of Sydney has a tech startups action plan, which it published in 2016. Sydney now has a global reputation for innovation and entrepreneurship and has the highest concentration of startups in Australia. The likes of Atlassian, Afterpay, Canva, Judo Bank and other high-value innovators like Tyro Payments and Airtasker all kick-started operations in Sydney. City of Melbourne also has a startup action plan, which it published in 2017. City of Brisbane has a host of initiatives, including residency for emerging startups at the Brisbane Business Hub, a joint initiative of Brisbane City Council and the Brisbane Economic Development Agency, and a Choose Brisbane campaign for PropTech. At our October 2021 council meeting, the City of Perth Administration outlined how the City of Perth has been supporting tech over the period from 2013 to 2021. These range of initiatives, based on the information subsequently supplied to me by the City's administration, sums up that this... the total.
Councillor, I'm sorry, I was going to jump in at an appropriate point to get a seconder, so let's get that now, given the debate is kind of in the process of opening up. Thanks, Councillor Coe. Seconder, Councillor Angie. Continue on. Thanks.
Thank you. The total support for these initiatives was $926,000 from 2013 to 2021. So that's approximately $115,750 each year for the 8 years. Also, based on the information provided to me by the City's administration, the City of Perth provided $73,000 worth of support to the sector in the current financial year today. While this is a start, and I acknowledge that, and a broad range of programs have been supported, I believe we can do more and better to position Perth as a start-up hub, not only in sponsorships but in other initiatives. And in particular, while the City of Perth currently supports some initiatives, there is no coordinated plan. Like other Australian cities, we do need a plan. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are many precedents, and I've provided links to those in the agenda papers. And the City of Perth has so much to offer, as we all know, with many advantages over the eastern states. For example, as you know, we're perfectly positioned in the world's most populous time zone, with approximately 60% of the world's population living with 1 hour of our time zone. I recently met someone who had relocated to Perth from Copenhagen. Her tech company had plans to move to Singapore, but when COVID hit, they diverted to the safe shores of Perth. Just this afternoon, I had coffee with someone whose partner and herself had relocated to Perth, and he is part of a tech company that's now moved here. We need more of this. We need people to know that Perth is a tech hub, and we need to support them when they get here. We saw the City of Perth spring into action to embrace opportunities this year, including the AFL Grand Final or to activate the Lord Mayor's Distress Fund. Let's spring into action now to help position Perth as a tech hub and an innovation hub. And now is the time, as our borders reopen to the rest of the country and the rest of the world in the new year. At the Lord Mayor's Grand Perth Forum in July, on the theme of City of Lights, one attendee talked about Perth being the city of bright ideas. Let's be the city of bright people and bright ideas, a tech and innovation hub. In closing, I just wanted to note the administration's response to my notice of motion. And we have seen the draft economic development strategy prepared by Urbis for the city a few weeks ago, and although it is a draft and I'm not able to disclose its contents, development of a specific tech plan was not included in this strategy. I'm pleased to hear in the admin's response that the tech sector will be consulted as part of this strategy, but the strategy is not enough. As in the precedents provided from Sydney and Melbourne, a specific action plan for tech was followed on from the overall economic development strategy. And that's what I'm asking for in this notice of motion, that plan, the commitment to develop that plan, is locked in. Further, I reference the City Strategic Community Plan. Again, while this is currently under review, the current plan talks about a can-do reputation that delivers investment and assists small businesses and development generally through a willingness to assist and encourage. Let's assist. The internet, as stated in the city's community plan, has caused remarkable expansion in digital technology, and harnessing the virtual world has become important to all facets of society. As we heard in the deputation, people are lining up to help us with this plan. We've just all come from the celebration and the launch of the city's LGBTQIA plus advisory committee plan, which was the result of a notice of motion that I put up a year ago. I'm asking for the council support to support this notice of motion so that in a year or more's time, however long it takes, we can again be on level 11 celebrating another great plan for the city. And I did note, sorry for being taking up everyone's time, that at the launch of the LGBTQIA plus advisory plan just now, the Lord Mayor said that this plan was groundbreaking and world-leading. Let's create another groundbreaking, world-leading plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Angie. Seconder was Councillor Coe. Is there anything you'd like to add, Councillor Coe?
I just wanted to mention, actually, over the past couple of weeks, I've been attending a couple of tech events, and I've noticed one thing that a lot of tech startups actually want isn't actually funding, is actually exposure. And as a city, I think we can actually provide them a platform for exposure, and I think a tech plan is a great idea.
Mm. Thanks, Councillor Coe. Councillor Gobert, speaking for?
Not to move an amendment, please, Lord Mayor. I'm giving the effect under point 3 after the words council to delete the remainder of that sentence, and under point 4 after the words considered by council as part of delete A and leave the word future, then delete the words budget for 22, 23 and beyond, and after that put the words deliberations. I'm happy to
go through that. Through that again.
Yep, sure. So that would give the effect of point 3 to read, if required, list a provisional sum as part of a future budget for consideration by council, full stop.
Mm-hmm.
Point 4 being, as part of the Tech Action Plan, outline priority initiatives and required budgets to be considered by council as part of of future budget deliberations.
Budget.
And points 1, 2 and 5 remaining the same.
Point 2. Can we have a seconder, please, for the amendment? Councillor Angie, thank you. Councillor Gobert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'm just in listening to the points that Councillor Angie made. I think that it's entirely appropriate for us as the elected body to do, as Councillor Angie has put, to investigate ways to attract and support businesses to the city, to present a plan as we have. We have a plan for our lighting, we have a plan for our electrical upgrades, we have a plan for our curb replacements, we have a plan for many things that we do as a local authority. And when we look to the future of our city, it's very clear that digital technology is only growing and growing. I think it's important as part of this process in the council meeting to acknowledge ideas, send them away to the administration, and then have them presented back to us at a later date. I think that in speaking to the specifics of the motion, deleting the last part of point 3, I think that will just constrain us a little bit. I think that we need to... we've already had a bit of a first cut of what might be presented to the mid-year review, and I'm just a little cautious that we might be reprioritising at a late date, or too late in the time frame for that, so I'm just mindful of that. Specifically to point 4, I think it's just, again, under the same mindset, it's if we acknowledge the idea as part of the motion, it's safer in my consideration that we just acknowledge the idea and put it to a future budget. So I think I'm quite happy to speak to the motion if it is amended at a later point, but I think this just tidies it up a bit to say if we acknowledge the idea, then we can have a discussion about what is included or what might be included at a later date.
Thanks, Councillor Gobert. Councillor Andrews, the seconder.
I'm just thanking Councillor Gobert for his amendments.
Yes, thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak for or against? Councillor Gordon?
I'll speak against and probably seek to clarify the intention of the amendment. If the intention is to acknowledge the idea and consider it at a later date in line with the budget, then current point 2 is not captured under that, and it's still requesting the CEO present the tech action plan potentially in advance of any budget consideration. So it doesn't achieved that. So
in order, Lord Mayor, I'm happy to raise a point of personal clarification. I think that point three does indeed do that. It says list a provisional sum as part of a future budget consideration.
Okay. All right. The view is that you have clarified your point, and I think that does make sense. Councillor Gordon, are you satisfied by that explanation?
Well, the motion, as it would be amended, would be instructing the CEO to present the tech action plan. So,
let me just check if that's the view up here.
This is a point of order. Let's just get
clarification on what's before us first, and then.
So it says we just specify that it's presented to a future meeting, so it doesn't necessarily have to be this year, it can be whenever.
So I think the view up here, Councillor Gordon, is that it doesn't specify which budget, it just is at a future council meeting. So I think on that basis, I think it is allowed and stands, as has been clarified by Councillor Gobbett. Are we comfortable with that? Yes? We are. Okay. We are.
Through the Lord Mayor, I would just ask a question. It's just for a future council meeting, for a future budget. So that could be any point. So from a city administration perspective, to have some time frames, otherwise this could be something we put off for 5 years. So some clarity as to if this motion is passed, is it within this financial year or next financial year?
Mm.
That's actually stated in the motion. So you only have to, in the application for the motion, you tick a box which says what year. And I noted that WA's board is soon reopening, and I believe it should be done as a matter of urgency. However, I understand the administration has competing priorities, and I put a one-year time frame on it. I think what Councillor Gobbett was just trying to clarify is that the motion was general. I said the plan be presented at a future meeting. Any budget requirements be presented at a future meeting. The 1, 2 and 3, 4 listed wasn't the order of doing things. It was just the way it was listed. So clearly if there's budget required for the plan, that would go ahead of any presentation at a future meeting. Mm-hmm. So that is not the order of doing things in that thing.
I see ya.
Sorry, I may have been confused. I thought we were talking about the amended motion, which actually took out then some of those dates. So, yeah, so we took out the dates in 3 and 4, which would give clarity, if we accept the amendment, would have given the clarity to the administration as far as deliverables.
Right. Right. Is there anybody else wishes to speak for or against Councillor Gobbett's?
Can I ask a question, Lord Mayor?
I guess you could.
As the mover, am I able to take out the amendment to motion 4, or point 4 of the motion?
Can I ask a question?
Well, firstly, I'll say that with the consent of the seconder, you can. Now, are you happy?
I was the seconder.
Yeah, I know that, Councillor Anzie. Are we happy to take a question? We've got to deal with this first. Sorry.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Then, in response to the advice from the administration, I'm happy to take out the amendment to point 4 and leave it as just point 3 being amended, and thank the CEO and Mr. Flint for their advice.
Okay.
Can I ask the question now?
Yes, for Angie.
I'm not sure, but it appears the intent of Councillor Gobbett's amendment was to just give it flexibility to the administration. So I guess my question is to the administration, would you prefer to see dates in there or dates taken out? I think that's what Councillor Gobbett's intent is, that to not put pressure on anyone in the administration and to leave it open to you as to the timing of when things are delivered.
CEO.
Thank you through the Lord there, and we very much appreciate the flexibility that is afforded. However, with a very heavy project load that we already have, clarity around council expectations and delivery would be much appreciated. So as much as we sincerely appreciate the flexibility, clarity of delivery is probably a most important key performance indicator for us all. Thank you.
Okay, anyone for or against the amendment? So Councillor Gobbett is going to close now for the amendment.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And just to reiterate the points, bringing the discussion together, as it were, noting Councillor Gordon's points and the advice from the CEO and back and forth on that, appreciate that as well. I'm quite happy as the mover with the support of the seconder for the amendment to just be points three. As amended, and then leaving point four as presented by Councillor Angie. Again, I appreciate that there is some direction that we need to give as the council, understanding that we have been presented with some, I guess, first cut of the media review, and I thought it would be a bit onerous on the administration to set that as part of the media financial review. But overall, I think that this, if we were to, as point four, take that out and leave it as by council as part of a future budget for 22-23 and beyond, I think that addresses the motion without putting too much strain on the administration. Thank you.
We're going to vote for the amendment. All those in favour? Councillor Coe, Councillor Angie, Councillor Gobbin, Deputy Lord Mayor Bain, Councillor Bevan, and those against? Councillor Leeser, Lord Mayor, Councillor Gordon, Councillor Fleeton. So,
that has been carried.
So it now forms part of the main motion. Now,
we are back to who?
Okay, speakers for and against now the main motion. We've heard from Councillor Angie, we've heard from Councillor Gobbett. Speaking for?
Please.
Yeah.
Speaking to the overall intent of the motion now, look, as I said, we've got plans upon plans for everything that we do as a local government. I think that it's important that we acknowledge this as an idea, that we put it into our deliberations that we are going to shortly go into again for our budget planning. Whether or not that's prepared for the long term, short term, I don't know. I think it's just critical at this point that we at least refer that to the administration for consideration. They know that if this is passed, that the future budget 22-23 and beyond is a starting point, and I'm interested to see what might come back as part of our programming for that. And who knows what we might see? We might see various grant proposals come out of that. We could see co-working spaces. We could see any number of ideas be generated out of this through community consultation and consultation with stakeholders in this industry. I mean, I'm not a tech expert. I take the advice of people who are experts in this field. And much to what Councillor Angie spoke of before about the LGBTQIA+ plan that we launched some minutes ago upstairs, there are things that are in that plan that I would have not been at all aware of unless we were presented with that. So I think it's important to just acknowledge the idea, refer it to the administration, and be provided with that advice. So with that, I'll ask for the support of my colleagues. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Gobbett. Does anybody wish to speak against the motion? Councillor Fleeton.
I'm not too sure if I'm for or against, but I just want to make a few comments, and I might make my own mind up during that, if that's all right. I heard a lot about Brisbane and comparing us to other capital cities. So Brisbane has a population, the city council in Brisbane has a population of 1.2 million people. We have 30,000. Brisbane's annual budget this year was $3.6 billion that they had to spend. Ours is $261 million. So they're 13 times the size. Everything Councillor Angie said, I 100% agree with as to why we should do this. My concerns are totally around the implementation and the outcome. This is completely different to a social issue plan that we launched before. I don't understand the correlation between the two. I moved a motion earlier this year. Actually, it was when we first got elected in 2020 around the Commonwealth Government's task force to attract
global talent, so I'm completely on board with the reasons why. I just worry that we're sprinting while the organisation is still catching up on the fundamentals in terms of strategies and getting things in line for success. I just think this sets us up for failure in terms of expectation management and outcomes. So I love the idea. It's just we don't just get to say things in this chamber and they automatically happen. You have to implement it, CEO, and what you're telling us is right now, we've got other things that we need to get right first. So this is on its way. I mean, point one, we're already doing that. Point, well, I don't know which points have changed now. I've got a difference here. I also think your amendments is not accurately reflected on screen anyway. But what I'm saying is we're already doing these things. We've got staff in the chamber who are working very, very hard on these things, and we just need to get that top-line strategy right, which you're already indicating, but I'll leave it there.
Thanks, Councillor Fleeton. Is there anybody who wishes to speak for the motion? Councillor Bain.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. As someone who's been to Israel on a tech tour, the world's startup nation, Israel is called these days, to Palo Alto, where I saw startup deals happening live in front of my eyes, to Melbourne, where Sally Capp, the Lord Mayor, boasted to me about how Melbourne wants to steal Sydney's mantle as the tech capital of Australia. I'm very supportive of this motion, and in fact I would like a working group to be a part of this motion, but we don't seem to do that at this council. If we as a city want to be a global economy which plays on a global stage, we must act like a modern and progressive city and not just support but help to cultivate a growing and emerging tech community. We need practical measures which include being alluring to the lucrative venture capital market, providing a landing pad for new businesses, helping startups to be linked and networked with industries so they can commercialise intellectual property, providing cost-effective spaces for brilliant ideas to flourish. Imagine if we had all those pieces of the puzzle about 10 years ago when, as Councillor Angie said, Melanie Perkins was forced to take Canberra to Sydney because our city's VC market just wasn't mature enough. We're about to open up in this state, and now is the time to start thinking about how we can use our international connections and align with the state government's diversification agenda to help startups go global. We're in the midst of an innovation boom in this world where new businesses can spring up and become global players in a very, very short time. We should take a leaf out of that book when it comes to that kind of agility. While the city is developing a broader economic development plan, working on this in parallel will signal to our administration, the CEO, and our significant ratepayers, like Geoffrey Leach, who is in the room today, that this plan and tech is a strategic priority for our city, and it shouldn't just be left on the shelf, and we shouldn't just rely on others to, within the administration, to kind of pull something together that we as a group may or may not or individually support. So that's why I'm supportive of the motion.
Thank you, Councillor. Deputy Lord Mayor, is there anybody who wishes to speak against the motion? Councillor Gordon.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'm just a bit confused all round, I guess. I'm a bit confused as to why we bother with an economic development strategy if we're going to cast it aside and jump ahead and do our own thing anyway. Let's line our ducks in a row and make things fall out of one another. Let's get the strategy in place, then implement the action plans. I'm also confused about the achievement of the amendment. My understanding was that we were going to consider this in line with the future budget, but actually all we've done is eliminate half the wording from three, which I think we should have maintained to allow for the cost of preparing the tech action plan. So now the cost of the tech action plan isn't contemplated at all in the amended motion. So we go ahead and we budget only for the initiatives that are identified in the action plan. So if we support the motion as it's currently written, we're going full steam ahead with something that we haven't strategically identified and endorsed and consulted at this stage. So very confusing.
Thank you, Councillor Gordon. Councillor Bevan, you should speak for the motion.
Yes, I do. Thank you. Many years ago when I joined the bank, I thought the calculators were sensational. Things have changed a lot since then. And we don't have a tech action plan. We need one. We have to have one. We've talked about activation in the city council. Talking is fine. It's the doing that produces results. I think it's time to start doing things. We talk about can do. And how long do we wait before we can do? I think it's time when we have the enthusiasm, and that's what we need. We need enthusiasm to get these things done in council. In fact, Tom Hafey once said, if you want to be an effective leader, you have to be the most enthusiastic person in the room. And I think that we have a couple of them here tonight, and I'm very pleased to be associated with them, in Councillor Sandy Angie and Councillor Di Bain, Deputy Lord Mayor. And I think it's the enthusiasm that we show tonight that's going to produce results for the City of Perth and for this tech action plan that we desperately need.
Thank you, Councillor Bevan. Is there anybody who wishes to speak against the motion? For the motion? I've just got a couple of questions, I think, for the administration. So my understanding, maybe I've got this wrong, my understanding is that we are using the strategy to inform our plan. Can I ask, is that right, person?
Correct.
Okay, and that strategy work has begun and is being undertaken now, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and when, and I did ask our guest if he were able, as part of the public consultation process, to inform that strategy or speak to that strategy in early next year, whether he would be happy with that outcome. He said yes, he would be delighted or something to that effect. Is that going to happen?
Yes, consultation on a draft strategy is due to commence early 2022, and that will involve all sectors.
Okay, so I think what we're wondering here is, so off the back of that, how quickly would we have the plan? We could see, I think, everybody in this room is supportive of what Councillor Angie has put up, and despite the confusion, supportive of Councillor Gobbett's enthusiasm for it as well, and the Deputy Lord Mayor's. I guess the question is, how quickly will we have the plan if we follow the process that we have before us?
Well, once council approves the strategy, then the opportunity to really, we should be working in parallel with the plan anyway. So it may well be that once we have the feedback, that will almost immediately then inform a planning document or plans a,
sense.
Because each of the themes may well have their own separate plans. So you would have a digital plan, you might have a, so the plans will link back to the major strategy.
Is that June next year? Is that this time next year? Is it, when is that?
So the actual depends on the consultation and how long that would take. Let's say it will come back to council in March next year. If council approve the strategy, then we would have something that would inform the budget process in
22-23. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. So I think in many ways we're sort of we're arguing for the same thing. If that time frame is accurate, then that's what we're talking about, I would have thought. But I guess the best way to find out is to put it to a vote. But Councillor Angie, you have the opportunity. A yes question?
But just following on, the next question in that logical sequence was that strategy that we went through and drafted had the short-term, medium-term, long-term actions.
Right.
In the coming 3 months, will we have a work plan on what the team is going to be able to achieve in the 0 to 2 year mark if this is passed?
I think
we can't do everything.
No, so that's why in part the strategy and the opportunity to consult with key stakeholders on where those priorities might be for the short, the medium and long term would be ideal. We would need to start work on this effort immediately, and so it really could be a little confusing, particularly externally, if, you know, after consultation we're advised that there's a different priority, which is highly unlikely. However, you don't know, and so the process of having a strategy that then the plans fall out of is how usually such things occur. But again, coming back to my point, I think informing the 22-23 budget could be the strategy and the supporting plans.
Okay. Councillor has one more question. Does the passage of this motion tonight make things happen faster?
I think if we work to inclusion in the 22-23 budget, it could be that this just preempts some of the work coming out of the strategy. So it's hard to predict.
Okay.
But we would need to start work on it now because really those considerations and projects for the 22-23 budget really are in the mix right now. We've already had a preliminary budget meeting. We'll be having another one in early December. So we are starting to talk about the projects. And so the point maybe I haven't been as clear is without a strategy to inform the projects, we're doing it a little bit back to front.
Okay. So I ask these questions because I think, from what I'm seeing around the room, I think everybody's in furious agreement that this is a space that we want to charge into, but I guess we want to charge into it fully strategised. Councillor Angie, it's your opportunity now to close the debate.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I guess I'll just go through and address a reply to some of the comments made by Lord Mayor and others. In relation to Lord Mayor, I've got the draft economic development strategy right here that we received in draft. Obviously can't disclose, but there was no indication in that strategy that this kind of plan would fall out of that or was the intention that that would be a next step. This makes clear that as a council we are committed to a tech startup plan as part of the development strategy, and I thank Deputy Lord Mayor Bain for her comments about the idea of working in parallel. That we know this, to me, to use the phrase, this is a no-brainer. This has been done across the country and all over the world. To have a tech action plan is a no-brainer. We don't need consultation to tell us this. I mean, and I'm sure that will be the outcome of the consultation anyway. So like I said, it's not wasn't contemplated in the current strategy prepared by Urbis with the city. This makes clear that it is. As Councillor Bevan said, I'm in agreement with what he said. We do need a plan and we need to start doing things and people want to see action. And development of an action plan sends a signal to the market and to, you know, in the country and across the world that we are open to business here in Perth and that we want tech businesses here in Perth, that we want to be a hub. In relation to Councillor Gordon's comments about being confused, I'll have to say I can always rely on Councillor Gordon to vehemently be against anything I put forward as amendment or notice of motion, whether it's a statue of a woman, a youth advisory group, investigating securing a pocket of West Perth, and that was just in one meeting. So I won't comment further on Councillor Gordon's comments, other than just to note that while Councillor Gordon may see her view as a councillor as more limited, in my view, good governance is more than that. Good governance follows rule of law, it's transparent, it's accountable, it's effective and efficient, but it's also responsive. It's responsive to our community, to our city and to our ratepayers. So in relation to Councillor Fleeton's comments about the potential cost and the lack of budget that the City of Perth has, the idea that I put forward for a plan contemplates entirely our city's budget. And as we've seen in the Sydney's plan, which I put a link in the notice of motion to, it can be simple things. It can be an awareness campaign, which one of the councillors raised, noted, creating an awareness campaign focused on the city's entrepreneurs and our tech startup ecosystem. It can be using our communication channels to showcase tech startups, to show this to the country and the world. It can be just through grants and sponsorships, supporting tech events, which we're currently doing. And it may be that some of the plan actually just packages up some of the things we're already doing, but as I said, it's a cohesive plan that sends a signal. Sure, there may be other initiatives as contemplated by Councillor Fleeton that may be more costly, but of course that will all be within the city's budget and of a scale that's suitable to our city, using the examples provided. I thank Councillor Coe and Govett and Bevan for their support. Sorry, looking through my notes, I think I've covered everything other than just to note that a plan is quite different to a strategy, and what we need is concrete action. So with that, I think I've spoken for probably long enough. I hope that Council supports this motion.
Thanks, Councillor Angie. Well, we can now put that to a vote. So this is the amended primary motion. All those in favour? And they are Councillor Coe, Councillor Angie, Councillor Gobbett, Councillor Bain and Councillor Bevan. Those against, Councillor Leeser, Lord Mayor, Councillor Gordon and Councillor Fleeton. We can declare the motion, the amended motion, carried 5-4. Well done, Councillor Angie. We move now to 18, matters for which the meeting may be closed. Items 18.1 and 18.2 are designated confidential in accordance with section 5.232 of the Local Government Act 1995, and as such, we will now move behind closed doors to consider them. And we need some people to stay. Oh, we need a mover first. Yes, mover. Mover. To go behind closed doors, yes. Councillor Gordon. Seconder. Councillor Coe. Thank you. All those in favour? Yes, great. Yes, we are. We need Julia to stay and Mario. Yes. Thank you very much, everybody else. My Councillor Leeser has left the room because of, what is it, the... sorry, we meant other people other than our admin, yes. Yes, sitting out there, big crowd. So are we happy? We've got everyone that we need? Yes, do we need to turn the camera off? Camera's off? Okay. Officers, would you like to go and sit at the press table, perhaps? Yeah, great. Right. Okay, Councillor Leeser has left the room, as we said, because of a proximity interest, and we've noted impartiality interest from Deputy Lord Mayor Bain, Councillor Bevan and Councillor Angie. Would anybody like to move a motion to deal with this item? Thanks, Councillor Gordon. And do we have a seconder? Thanks, Councillor Coe. Councillor Gordon.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I support the officer's recommendation because I think we're not going to achieve a better outcome for the city here. You know, we've made attempts to negotiate a more positive outcome, but ultimately this is a good outcome. And I think we look for the long term of what development potential that site has, what redevelopment potential the site has, and we hope that this transfer will bring effect to that.
Thank you. Councillor Gordon. Second was Councillor Coe.
Nothing to add.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak for the motion? Anyone against? Anyone have any question? Okay. Well, let's put that to the vote then. All those in... Oh, sorry, Councillor Gordon, nothing more to add? Let's put that to the vote. All those in favour? And that is carried unanimously. Thank you. We move to 18.2. Now, can Councillor, this is all Councillor Leeser out. 18.2, the Perth Concert Hall Cashback Reserve request to release funds. Now, do they need to be added now?
Yeah, they should be.
Okay. So we've got some, I see how there's a couple of blanks here. Are they going to be filled in?
If I could ask the Project Manager of Finance, our CFO, Michael Kent, to comment on the blanks that are in the paper.
Yes, so the recommendations, there's 1, 2 and 3, and in 3 the transfers is a capped amount and there's a blank, like blankety blanks with Graham Kennedy. Good days, Councillor Bevan. And there's option blank. We've got 2 blanks.
Thank you. Through the chair, that was done to give council the opportunity, having considered the points, particularly in clauses 17, 18, and 19, to form a position on which of those alternatives they were more comfortable with, and then the appropriate letter would be inserted into the blank space in the recommendation. I've provided discussion in those points on each of the three options, and it's really for council to debate and determine.
Yes, but the admin can still give us a recommendation here, I would have thought. That's what happens. So would you like to...
Can we ask the content experts who are in the room?
Yes, certainly. Hello, content experts. So do we have a recommendation from the admin here?
Thank you very much. The experts in the room are in relation to legal and also the transfer of the land. It is actually the CFO's commentary around the funds. So if we could direct any questions to Michael Kent in relation to this paper.
Okay. Thank you. Through the chair. The three options were provided and discussed. The recommendation from the administration in terms of what is the most pragmatic and appropriate approach is in fact option C, which suggests making a voluntary capped contribution to provide the amount that had previously been earmarked by a council in 2000 towards the Wasso new home, and that is the full extent of what the city would be supporting, transferring out of that reserve. So that would effectively be $4 million out of that reserve, not the remaining 2.8.
Right. And that was in line with option C.
C.
Option C. So the council recommendation, as listed here, would be 1, 2, and 3, but with 3, the blanks being $4 million and option C. Lock it in. Does somebody wish to move that, please?
I'm just point of clarification. Oh, yes. Is that $4 million flat, or is it give or take $100,000? We're certain it's four.
Right. The amount is $4 million precisely, given that the transfer is being made to state government. GST is not going to be a consideration in that situation. And the reason for the recommendation of that value is because of a resolution that was made by council back in September 2000, noting, however, that there were other components attached to that recommendation which put obligations on other parties which were not followed through with.
Thank you. Just a mover and a seconder first at this point.
I'll get it on the table, so I'll move it.
Right on. Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Seconder, Councillor Gobert.
Ask a question. What are we going to do with the balance?
Thank you. That's a very good question, Councillor. The intent originally was that, based on the information that the city previously had, was we were aware that there was $6.8 million in the reserve. We were aware that there was a proposal from state government for us to hand back the land reserve and therefore effectively hand over the keys to the building, which would indicate that there was no requirement for that $6.8 million to be retained in the reserve. So in the city's long-term financial plan, we had acknowledged the opportunity to bring that money out of reserve back to the municipal fund, as is an appropriate financial management process. At that time, there was no awareness from the administration that there had been any commitment of any sort towards that facility. It was in the exercise of trying to understand how much we had actually expended on the depreciation of the building that I searched back through 20 years of annual reports and noted that there were, in 2 years, there had been two amounts of $2 million put aside into the reserve, which obviously piqued my curiosity, and through a detailed record search, we actually found council minutes going back to September 2000, which had indicated the city would take that course of action.
Thanks, Michael. So, Councillor Pleaton, you are speaking for the motion.
Just a follow-up question, though. So we've got, this motion doesn't deal with the 2.8, though, so it's going to sit in a reserve that has no purpose anymore if we're handing it back, the asset back.
That is entirely correct, Councillor, and the thinking around this was there's quite a number of moving parts already in the dealing with the concert hall relinquishment and the cash reserve. So this report was to deal with that, and my intention was to come back to council with a separate recommendation that the residual balance of that reserve, and we'll get that to the precise dollar, would then be transferred back to the city's municipal account.
Don't you just want to tack on 4 here and do that or not?
That is a valid point. I guess I would seek the, if I may, seek the view of the CEO if you wish me to incorporate both of those into this one report, or if it's still the desire to keep things to do with the Perth Concert Hall discrete and separate.
I would, if I may, through the Lord Mayor, agree with the councillor, and unless council have now an alternative use that they might like to put the money for, it's probably.
Councillor Angie.
Yes. So my question was, we've already the Main Street refresh plan. We've talked about James Street and Adelaide Terrace hotels, and Adelaide Terrace is screaming out for something. Could that amount be allocated, that balance of 2.8, be used like in the vicinity of the concert hall, so we're still making a commitment to the state government and also that we're spending that money on Adelaide Terrace in their vicinity, that's in our discretion.
Thanks, Councillor Andrew. OCR.
So through the Lord Mayor, if that is the decision, it could be amended to say, and in surrounding areas the money is invested. It's difficult to know at this stage. My understanding is that the and members of the Perth Theatre Trust would have a better understanding, but it could be that they're already underfunded, the project is behind. It's when we would actually get to spend that money in this precinct, when it was the most appropriate time, it might be sitting in a fund for a bit of a while. So,
questions first. We still haven't spoken to the motion. Councillor Gobbin.
Yeah, thank you. Question. I was just going to ask, do we have a reserve that this amount of money could conveniently go into? Do we have one?
Mm-hmm. Sia?
We have, I'm not certain exactly how many reserves we have. Could I suggest, rather than making a decision now about budget of this quantum, that maybe we deal with this and that we bring the matter back as far as whether it's something you want to discuss at an EMES or it's part of the whole budget process, rather than using this forum now to be making a decision on what to do with the remaining money?
Okay, thank you. Councillor Angie, did you speak? You had a question before? You did ask that? Did I come to you?
Yeah, I had that question about being spent in the vicinity.
Thank you. Sarah.
Thank you very much. Through the chair, the $2.8 billion residual is proposed in the long-term financial plan, which obviously feeds into next year's budget. That money is at least notionally allocated to that, and as Councillor Angie quite rightly pointed out, that money has in fact, at least in my current workings on the budget document, being deployed to support things like the laneway program, like the Main Street refresh. So we effectively have a purpose for that money. If council was of a view that it wanted to not do that and put it into another reserve or to do something else with it, then I just want council to acknowledge that that means that now we're not only trying to fund $4 million that we thought we don't have in next year's budget, we'd be funding $6.8 million we don't have in next year's budget. So I would just offer that as a cautionary comment before we determine where we might go with this.
Okay, thanks, CEO. CEO, did you have anything you wish to say off the back of that?
I'm just not certain about the allocation for 22-23 budget as yet, because we haven't had that conversation. Council haven't advised us. I take the point putting monies or assuming we could use it to fund other projects is sort of inconsistent with our budget process, but it's just I'm not exactly sure what the monies would be used for at the moment.
Okay. Councillor Bain, Deputy Lord Mayor Bain had a question.
So we're, I suppose, in this conversation, all assuming that WASO is going to accept the cap of $4 million. So we're being a little bit preemptive, aren't we? I guess the question is $4 million going to get us over the line, or do we have to keep that money in there until we are over the line?
Fair question. I see ya.
I'm not really sure what over the line means, because WASO, the money is not proposed to go to WASO. Actually, we've had conversations with state government. It is their strong recommendation this be part of the city deal process, not to WASO at all. So WASO having asked is fine. However, the monies go to state government, and it is actually part of a city deal arrangement.
Thanks, Ian. Councillor Angie?
Yeah, given that it's part of the city deal, I guess, you know, when you look at the fact that I guess we've got out of the ongoing maintenance costs of the pool, and I recall there was money in the long-term financial plan set aside for the pool that we've escaped. So, I don't know, to me this seems like a modest amount to recontribute back to the city deal, whether it is the $4 million or the $6.8
million. Is it a question?
So was money set aside for the WACA pool in the long-term financial plan, and, you know, what happened to that? Where did
CFO, by the CEO, CFO.
Thank you, through the chair. There was a modest amount provided in the latter half of the long-term financial plan towards those ongoing maintenance costs. It was not at the beginning of the plan, so I would caution about spending money that we actually don't have, doesn't exist.
Okay, thank you, CFO, for that clarity. Now, Councillor Fleeton, if there are no further questions, Councillor Gordon's putting your hand up.
Well, I'll go back to the CFO's earlier comment that this $4 million is not in the budget. So can I just clarify that my understanding of the comments were that we thought we were going to relinquish the asset, we therefore reallocated this money, and therefore if we make a voluntary contribution, we are going to have to get that from elsewhere, potentially rates.
Thanks, Councillor Gordon. By the CEO to the CFO.
Thank you very much, through the chair. That is, in essence, the situation. We had anticipated having that money available for this year's budget, so we have a number of choices. We either find an alternative funding source, we scale back some of the project proposals, or we adjust service delivery. But the reality is there's $4 million that we had anticipated that we now do not have.
Thank you, CFO. Okay. Councillor Fleeton, would you like to speak to the motion? Councillor Gobbett was the seconder. Councillor Gobbett?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just picking up on the points that have been made by our CFO and Councillor Bain, I think we might just be a bit overly preemptive at the moment by diverting any other or that extra amount above and beyond $4 million into a specific purpose. I think it would just constrict us a little bit if the debate around this topic evolves. So happy to just leave that open for the moment, although it's my preference to not just leave money hanging up in the air. I'd want to put that towards specific purpose or just leave it where it is. But I'm comfortable, based on the advice that we've been given tonight, that option C with the amount of $4 million.
Okay. There's a bit of chatter over there. Is there a question, or Councillor Gordon, you suspect for or against the motion?
I'd like to speak against the motion. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge the questions that we've been presented with, good questions from Councillor Angie, and the answer to which is that the council has actually spent money in line with the asset renewal ratio, which is the guidance provided on how much should be spent. So this council has spent the appropriate amount of funds over the last 21 years on maintaining this asset. I feel like we're seeking to penalise our ratepayers, hearing in particular that this money isn't budgeted for. We're going to penalise our ratepayers to, you know, rectify the poor accounting standards of people that were here previously. There's not been an underspend by this council. There has been a misallocation of the budget. Cost centres, perhaps. With no clarity on what these funds will actually be applied to, it doesn't bridge the gap between what is desired and what is budgeted. There is still a massive shortfall. We've got no clarity from the state government on what it will achieve, what it will achieve for WASO, what it will achieve for our stakeholders. It's merely an arbitrary allocation under the context of, you know, protecting our reputation and relationship with the state government, not with WASO, with the state government. However, the state government didn't initiate this request. They haven't asked for it. They haven't advised what they're going to do with it. And we talk about avoiding expenditure in the long-term financial plan. That was a good outcome. I don't know why we would then go and seek out further opportunities to give up our ratepayers' funds. It may be the case that, you know, this is the right decision for our city, but I don't think we have the certainty of how this money will be spent and what the return on investment will be. Looking at option C, it clearly says that the $4 million is a voluntary contribution. There is no need for us to spend this money. If there are good outcomes to be achieved, let's wait until we understand what those outcomes may be. I think I won't be supporting the motion. If it's not supported tonight, I don't think it brings an end to the chapter. It buys us more time. If the state government want to seek to negotiate with us, then we can be open to that. But let's understand what the difference will be.
Sure. Thanks, Councillor Good. I think I'm right in saying, you know, when we filled in the blanks, we filled in the blank with an option, but we asked four options, and there were three options. And one of them was not to pay anything, one of them was to pay everything, and one of them was to pay what's gone in there as option C. So we're not, you know, that's the option that we're considering, or that, that went into the paperwork, but it doesn't have to be, I guess, to that point. Is that right, CEO?
Correct. So, yes, the administration, after the EMEF, were asked to go away and to provide a range of options that you might like to consider. This option has, if it is council, decide that they're prepared to accept a $4 million contribution to a city deal related to the concert hall. There's a rationale as to why the $4 million versus not $2 million or $3 million. I suppose in response, if I may, through the Lord Mayor, where is the benefit? We do know that the concert hall project is significantly underfunded, and so that contribution to a significant state icon under the banner of a city deal does give some benefit back to the city, because the monies we may otherwise spend will be part of the bigger pool. And so that commitment again of the city to the city deal project, which we are currently not a partner in that particular project.
Just as an aside, so $25 million from the WACA, $10 million on Rosary, which is up to $13 million now. It's at 38, and then this would be four. So our contribution to the city deal would then be $42 million
plus three for homelessness.
Yeah, 42, 45 million. Mm. Yeah, that gives it. I mean, a skin in the game, in a sense, isn't it?
Compared to other city deals and the contributions of local governments in other states, it is significantly higher.
Yeah, and it's a fair point when, you know, we might be asked by other tiers of government what we're doing or where our spend is or what our commitment to the city deal is. Certainly, from my point of view, sends a pretty strong message. I would have thought $45 million of City of Perth ratepayers' money, that's our commitment, but be that as it may. Now, were there any further questions or for or against? Anyone wishing to speak for or against? Councillor, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm actually speaking against the motion as put. For the reasons Rebecca outlined, I would actually like to know specifically, CEO, you've said that the state government in negotiations said they'd be happy to have $4 million. I'd like to see that correspondence. I'd like to see more information about specifically... an expansion of what those options are, and preferably a recommendation, which is this is what we should be doing because this is the best thing in the interest of ratepayers and the interest of you as elected members. So until we get that clear definition around this, I think it is dangerous.
Thanks, Dylan. Yes, Councillor Angie.
Yeah, I had my hand up for a question before, and that was the question, is it possible, understanding, to defer this until the next meeting to get some further information? Because I might propose that we defer this.
Yes, so yeah.
Thank you. Through the Lord Mayor and in response to the Deputy Lord Mayor, the conversation that was had was during, was post a city deal working party group, and when state government became aware of the request from WASO, they actually had some grave reservations, and it was at their request they said, well, if this was going to be contributed, then we would like to see it through the city deal forum. But so I don't think the state government have given much thought to what they may or may not use the $4 million for, other than to definitely prop up the underfunding for the renewal of the concert hall. State government themselves, Commonwealth government, have also had some reservations about the actual project associated with the concert hall, and I'd invite Mario if you'd like to know more about Commonwealth's reservations and some of their reluctance to sign the funding agreement. So it would be prudent, if this is the decision taken by council and it is your inclination, to defer, have further conversations with state government, and actually ascertain exactly where they think they might see the contribution to city deal specifically. Mm-hmm.
Councillor Angie?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a question for governance. Can we defer this motion to get more information? Yep. So I'll propose to defer.
I'll second.
Okay.
Procedure.
Right. So we don't speak to this. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Before this? Or okay. Right.
Yeah, just proposing that we defer it and take some further information from the administration in relation to how the money will be spent and how this fits into the city deal more broadly.
Yeah. Sure. So, Mario, could we invite you to comment, please? Do you want to stand up at the lectern if you don't mind, so I can hear?
The motion that was passed for 18.1 was to agree to the transfer of the management order back to the state. I'm not sure how long that will take, and I'm sure there's a lot of there'll be a deed that we'll need to agree and negotiate with the state, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of curly things that will come up between now and the time that the building is handed back, and we're going to be handing back a building that's going to need some pretty intensive care, if I can call it that. So we'll need to work with the state to do that in a professional manner. I don't think that's going to be cheap on our perspective. I think we'll need to do that properly and do it well. And any capital works or maintenance that we've got in the way, we need to complete that. Now, at the moment, they've asked for the management order back unconditionally. They haven't put any conditions on it. So what I'm saying is we've now agreed, let's give it back. I think the requests will come later. We were at a meeting with Minister Saviotti where she asked the question of you, Lord Mayor, does the city have any appetite to put money into the concert hall? And at the time we weren't aware of the reserve, and your answer was no, we don't have an appetite, we've put more money in elsewhere. So I think that request will come, and maybe it'll come with more constructive, or a constructive request will come. So I think it's wise to defer.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. All right. So we're going to put that to the vote, the motion to defer. Yes, Councillor Gordon.
I think it's a great motion to defer. But just including enough clarity in that motion, I think Councillor Andrew said, in order to seek further information from the state government. Was that the intent, Councillor?
Say state government? No. Or just further information? Further information. Yeah, from our admin.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So people make the comments about, I think, Deputy Lord Mayor Bain said something about some written correspondence, like a formal request from the state government, so clarifying what that formal request is and the details of that.
But have we
So there has been no formal request. It was an informal discussion with Chief of Staff in regards to, the WACA facility.
Mm.
It came up during that discussion. So there's been no formal request from the state government to the city.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, and we've also had conversations with the representatives from Premier and Cabinet. So the formal request has come from WACA, and you've debated that issue.
It's from
WASO.
Yeah.
So debating then whether any funds at all are returned, that's still in discussion. And I'm hearing that if it is that there is an appetite to dip into the existing reserve, then there should be further conversations with state government to clarify what that might look like. Is that correct from a council perspective?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Can I just... Just on the point, just before we put that to the vote, Councillor Gordon, there's been no underspend. Just in conversations that I've been privy to and been in the room for, I mean, it does appear as though there has been an underspend. So, yes, we have been spending money on maintenance for 20 years, but are we not of the view that it's not at the stand? Or has it not been sort of explained to us? I guess anyone can say what they want, but... The fact that it's propped up the way it's propped up at the moment does suggest that there has been an underspend. Yes, we have spent for 20 years, but have we... Sorry. But... Go on.
I'm entering debate, but we don't know the state of the asset when it was given to us,
yeah.
And the quality of the build in the first place. So while we can look at the property now and say it needs significant spend, it may not be a result.
Fair enough. I guess what I'm saying is we've been responsible for the maintenance, have we not? And if you walk in there, you go, gee, this hasn't been that well maintained. So I guess you draw your own conclusions. As a layperson walking in, whose only experience in this area is watching Bob the Builder with Anthony, to be perfectly honest. So where are we at?
Can I ask a question before we... Whether the outcome is best achieved by the deferral or an amendment to the motion.
It's too late. You've got a procedural motion. We haven't been following standing orders. You have to put this motion to a vote.
No, I'm asking a question about the effectiveness.
You can't then debate the merits.
But that's Brad's job to tell us what we've got to do, Councillor Fleeton. Thank you. Appreciate your input, though. Always welcome. Right. Now we're putting that to the vote. Is that correct? That is correct. Okay. All those in favour? And that is unanimous around the room. Thank you for that. It does. Well, that's good. We can open the room again. Could we have somebody move a motion to reopen the room? Is that Councillor Fleeton moving a motion to reopen the room, or not necessarily? He's opening the room to himself. Thank you, Councillor Bevan. Thank you, Councillor Gordon. Let's open the room. Okay. That's two. Moving now to item 19, urgent business. There are no items of urgent business for tonight's agenda. So there being no further business, I now declare the ordinary council meeting closed at 6:35 p.m. Thank you very much, everybody.
Could we all please stand as the Right Honourable Lord Mayor leaves the room?